This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, we're talking about Feeding Umpqua with Director Sarah McGregor. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Kyle.
So, remind people kind of an overall view of what Feeding Umpqua is and what you do.
So, Feeding Umpqua is the regional distribution center for emergency food in Douglas County. We used to be called the UCAN Food Bank, but a food bank is essentially a warehouse where we store and then distribute food out to the 16 emergency food pantries, the 5 congregate meal sites, and then other organizations that help provide food to people that are hungry.
And how long have you been leading Feeding Umpqua?
I have been the manager since 2017.
And how long have you been in town?
Oh, God, well, that's longer. Since 2007. So I moved here to be an AmeriCorps member and have worked for UCAN for pretty much the entire time I've been here.
So when you came as an AmeriCorps person, did you anticipate that this would be a place you'd stay?
No, not at all. I actually, my friends threw a party for me back in Austin, and it was like a year without Sarah. And so we celebrated all the holidays that I would miss with them. And then when I decided to stay a second year, they were like, oh, okay, that's all right, but she's coming back. And I just fell in love with the Umpqua Valley and have really made a life here. Got married, had a kid, and I just love it.
Yeah, a number of people come on the 1 or 2 year plan, and here we all are later. Not that ever applied to me. So do you feel like right now is the need for food assistance? I mean, with everything going on in the economy, is it going up? Is it going down? Is it stable? What's it look like?
The need has been very high. So starting in about March, when the pandemic EBT benefits disappeared, the numbers just have skyrocketed. Before that, we were seeing it trend upwards as different sort of government assistance programs were sort of timing out that came about during the pandemic. But like, for example, in February of this year, we saw about 18,000 people, and in March, 25,000 people accessed emergency food. And it's been pretty high consistently since then.
That's a big increase in 1 month. How do you anticipate that?
You really don't. We knew that the numbers were going to go up. I mean, we're already, like I said, trending upwards, and we knew that the pandemic EBT benefit would have a huge impact on people, particularly with inflation so high that was already making it harder for people to make ends meet around food. And we have just tried to continue providing as much food as we possibly can out to the network. We still give out the same size allocations that we've been giving out, and we have a lot of food available for them to order through our web-based system. What we're experiencing right now is that we don't have a lot of food. So we're kind of in a deficit position where we're giving out more food every month than we're bringing in. And so we're whittling away at any sort of excess that we have in the warehouse. It's a really sad thing to be in the warehouse right now. We were talking about modifying the event for this Monday in case it rains. So please change the weather forecast, Kyle. But bringing some of the seating inside of the building, and we have space to do that. And this is the first time we've ever had space to bring seating inside the building because we will not have to use a whole section of the warehouse to store food on the floor.
And that's not the problem you want to have.
That is definitely not the problem we want to have. So we've been really trying to get out the word that we really need more food, that we really need more support, funding to help us go and make food purchasing, funding just to hold our staff in place. So we've also experienced a lot of inflation. So just like everything, food costs have gone up for us. Paying our staff equitable wages has impacted the cost of doing business. And so we're really at a place where we're really hoping we can sort of change the tide around getting more food and getting more funds in the door.
I want to go back to something you mentioned a moment ago that I wasn't aware of. You mentioned an online food ordering program?
Yeah, that's something we do for our partner agencies. So like, for example, if the Fish of Roseburg, they have 2 appointments every week and they can go into this online system and see what we have available for them to order. And then they can order things that will be palletized and ready for their pickup when they get there. And so that can be a wide variety of things, frozen foods, lots of fresh food, thanks to a lot of the generosity with local farms and growers. And then also canned food that we have available. And every week, me and the warehouse supervisor, Christopher, sit down and we look at what's in the warehouse and then try to put things up on the web-based system that can diversify the offerings that pantries and kitchens and other sites offer.
And maybe that's something to note that not everybody gets. I imagine there are times people show up there seeking assistance when really you want to send them to whatever community they're from.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a nice little handout that we have at the door, and we always talk to every person because absolutely people show up and they ask us if they can get a food box. And we're usually like, oh, what day of the week of it? Is it, oh, it's Tuesday. Today, on Tuesday afternoon, the Salvation Army is open. So I can always tell people that. I know exactly which agencies are open and what day after doing this long, but we also have that handout they can take with them for the next time.
Now, did things get any better during the summer in terms of the level of assistance being sought?
Not really. I mean, every month kind of bounces around a little bit, so we have to look at the long-term trends, but definitely we've continued to stay high. I presented for City Council here in Roseburg about a month and a half ago and talked to them just about the Roseburg area and told them that food assistance here was up about 159% year-to-year, where when you look across the whole county, you might not see that statistic, but here in Roseburg, it's been extremely high.
Now, do you get a lot of help or much help at all from people who are gardening?
Yeah, we really do. The Master Gardeners are really fantastic. They do a couple of different donation programs, like with their Victory Gardens and also home-based gardens. And then they want to get all that information so they can kind of celebrate their success. And they've donated some beautiful produce this year. We also have been getting a lot from Valadez Farms, Riggs Family Gardens, and Laney Farms. All of those large farms do a great job. And then just people stop by all the time being like, I have some excess apples or I'm growing some Asian pears, and we're happy to take those and distribute them across the county.
Now, aside from the food that comes in that way, talk about sort of the pipeline that brings food to you, how that works.
So we get most of our food through the Oregon Food Bank. So we're part of the Feeding America Network, and Feeding America is the largest anti-hunger organization in the nation, and they provide food to their 200 member organizations. And so Oregon Food Bank is their member organization. And so through Oregon Food Bank, we get USDA commodity food, which we are the only way that any of the food pantries can access that resource in the county. Is through us. They also get large donations, and then they do what is called pick and pack out fees. So they'll pay farms to pick and pack food, like fresh produce, and have it donated to the network. Additionally, we also get funding from the state of Oregon for food purchasing. So we're about to purchase a semi-truck of food here leading up to the holidays, and then we'll also purchase some food for holiday meat and like hams and turkeys for people to have that for the holiday season. So that's where a lot of our food comes from. We also go and source our own food. We have local community food drives. We pick up from 6 local grocery stores every day of the week to source more food. So there's a lot that goes into bringing about, you know, anywhere between like 250 and 350,000 pounds of food into our warehouse at any given time.
So this is really, this is like a big juggling situation, it seems like, because you've got so many sources, you know, the local stores, what they may have in a given day may vary widely just based on what they have available. It's about to time out or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just definitely sounds like a lot of effort.
It really is. We have a fantastic team at Feeding Umpqua. There is 3 people that work in the warehouse. We have a program assistant, and then we have our partner coordinator who helps with all of the external agencies. And then we run our own food pantry, the Outpost Mobile Food Center. So we're going out to 4 remote parts of the county every week. So we go to Diamond Lake, Days Creek, Camas Valley, and Elkton. And then we also do a migrant farm worker distribution. So there is a lot of moving parts with the food bank, and it's widely unpredictable.
Now, I know the going out to these remote locations was something you started a few years ago because there was an obvious need there. If people were in those areas, the last thing they needed to do was have to add a tank of gas to get here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've really seen that program really be embraced by the communities where we go, and the numbers in those communities has gone up dramatically, too. I went out and had a meeting in Days Creek this summer to talk to them about whether or not we could find any place to establish a permanent pantry, because we've been seeing like over 100 families come and access the pantry. And that is really maxing out our trailer because it's only a finite space of like 20 feet. And we don't have anywhere to put any extra food.
Interesting. A special event coming up. We're going to talk about when we get back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about the city of Winston recently celebrating an anniversary. Assistant City Manager and Planning Director Thomas McIntosh will be in to talk about Winston. Sarah McGregor here from Feeding Umpqua, part of the United Community Action Network. A lot of things going on with needs in the community. And one way to help with that is an event you've got coming up on Monday night, fairly quickly now, the Empty Bowls Project Dinner. Tell us about that.
So this is the sixth annual event, and essentially Empty Bowls Project Dinner is a community event. We have lots of different ceramic artists, student artists, and then just community members painting bowls who donate bowls throughout the year. And then we have this great dinner inside of our warehouse. We have 12 soups made by local chefs and restaurants, and people get to choose a beautiful bowl, try as many soups as you like, and just be able to spend some time together talking about hunger and just building community.
So do you kind of have a program that goes with the evening, or do people kind of come and go, or a little of both?
You know, there is a time where we talk, but it's not really like I don't tell anyone exactly what time that is. I really wait until people get settled. I feel like they're enjoying their soup and they're able to sort of give their attention. We're going to do a silent auction this year, a very, very small one that'll be scattered throughout the event, and that will have a time frame. But for the most part, it's very laid back. We're really just trying to bring people together and have them do a little bit of reflection and enjoying time together.
Now, this idea comes out of something nationally, right?
Right. It's actually an international movement, the Empty Bowls Project, where a bunch of ceramic artists wanted to find ways that they could connect and do something about hunger. And that's really what this event is all about, is about kind of giving that artist community an opportunity to engage with hunger and to help us raise funds.
And is it a certain target that you're trying to hit in terms of funding a particular thing, or is this just kind of overall support?
It's overall support for the food bank. Our goal this year is $30,000 for the event, and we are very, very close. I think when I looked at the website, we were about $500 shy of that right now, and we only had about 3 tickets left to sell. So hopefully people will get on there, buy those last 3 tickets, and then we'll still have some available at the door, but we're feeling really optimistic about meeting that fundraising goal this year.
Well, that's a great response for something coming up so soon.
Yeah, we're very excited. I was really surprised. Honestly, every year it feels like people wait until the last minute to buy tickets. And so I was really excited that we're about to sell out. I mean, sell out the pre-sale.
Neat. And so people can still get tickets if they show up that night, though.
They can. We'll still have some available for people. I don't want anyone to feel like they had to miss out, but it'll be a limited number because we only have so many bowls.
And what happens with the bowls after the event?
Well, we actually package them up and save them for the next year. It always is good to have a little bit extra so that people feel that they have like good choices and they can really have something to explore. We're waiting for more bowls to come in this week. We're expecting some from the Clay Place and also some from RHS and their ceramics program.
And so you get a lot of different groups in on making these, it sounds like.
Yeah, we really do. And then we have a great volunteer supporter, Susie Johnston Forte. She always gets people to go out to Over the Hill Ceramics and do little bowl painting parties every month. And those really bring in some fun things. So sometimes it's kids who are out there painting bowls and getting them glazed. And those are really fun, too.
Neat. That was one thing I was never... Well, I made one bowl once in one class and decided that I would probably better be served doing other things.
Yeah.
Didn't really feel real confident in that ability. So
yeah. So it's for everyone. If you can't throw a bowl, so if you don't have that ability and you don't and you can't get into the clay place to learn, you know, that you can also just stop by, you know, Over the Hill Ceramics and just paint one. And then they'll go ahead and fire it for you and then donate it to us.
So as you look ahead, you know, you've had these newer initiatives and adjustments you had to make during the pandemic and all of that. Are there things that you would like to get to that you aren't doing yet?
Well, kind of a big project we're working on right now that has a lot of my attention is that we're building a new freezer. So we really needed to expand our freezer capacity because our freezer is totally full, like 99% of the time. Like right now, there's pallets all the way up to the door. So we have to unload the freezer to actually build orders out of the frozen pallets.
Which is really not what you want to do with food.
No, no. And it's also not what you want to do with time. Like you don't want to have staff like having to unpack and repack the freezer over and over again. So we're having a freezer built right now, and that was with some funding we got from the state for coronavirus support. So that's something that's really exciting. We also got some other funding from the state to do some real infrastructure improvements. Our floor has been really broken. So we're really kind of looking inwardly a little bit for the next year, but we still have our focus on trying to expand partnerships into our most underserved communities. That's why we started the Migrant and Farm Worker Distribution. We started a new partnership with the HIV Alliance and one with FARA, and we'll be looking to see who else is out there, who else is not being served, that we can help make some inroads into those communities.
And I remember the facility being built. I don't remember what year that was, but it seems like it would be one of those times that it's been around long enough that it's probably time for some renovation.
Yeah, absolutely. The building was being built in 2007, and we moved into that facility in 2008. And absolutely, like we've already had to replace like the cooler and evaporator systems and one of the large coolers just because it was a little bit older. And yes, there are so many repairs needed. Our roof leaks, the floor's cracked. We've had places where volunteers and or staff potentially have run into door frames. So there's just a lot that could be fixed and improved upon.
Is there room out there to enlarge it at all?
I'm not sure that there is. The freezer's going outside of the warehouse, the new one we're having built, and then we're cutting a hole in the wall to give it access. But it feels like we're kind of in the space as big as we can make it at this time.
Now, you talked about as you work with all these other communities, and particularly the South County area, sounds like you would like to get like a sort of a smaller version of what you have here somewhere else?
Not necessarily a warehouse, but there definitely could be another food pantry established. We've been talking to people down in the Canyonville area because there's not much out the Tiller Trail Highway other than the outposts, which we take out to Days Creek twice a month. And so really that's been an area we've looked at for a long time ever since the SDA church in Canyonville closed the pantry. I think that was in about 2015, just trying to find somewhere to put a pantry to give access to that community. It's a pretty large community to not have a food pantry. So we've started some preliminary conversations around that. And that'd be something I would really like to see accomplished in the next year.
Now, you can work on some certain things down in the Grants Pass area. Does that include what you're doing?
So in the Grants Pass area, there's actually a standalone food bank down there, the Josephine County Food Bank. And so they serve all of Josephine County. And UCAN has a food pantry in Josephine County at the Grants Pass office.
And now what about Reedsport?
Reedsport, one of our partners is out there, the Reedsport Food Pantry. It was formerly Project Blessing. So we provide their food and provide assistance to them.
So they're coming back, coming and going and getting food as well?
Absolutely, yes.
So a lot of places out there looking for food. If people want to find out more about what you have going on or anything like that, talk about your website.
So UCAN's website is ucancap.org. So that's UCANCAP as in Paul.org. And on there, you can find information about where you can find food, how you might do a food drive to support the food bank. And then if you want to get tickets for next Monday's event, you better act quickly, but you can do that at you can, fillemptybowls.com.
All right, Sarah McGregor from Feeding Umpqua, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.